3. Elizabeth Van Loo. After Fort Sumter's fall, Lincoln struggled to prevent any more secessions from the Union. He succeeded with the border states of Delaware, Maryland, Kentucky, and Missouri, although secessionist plotters remained active in Maryland throughout the war. Confederate guerrillas infested Missouri, and Kentucky was nearly evenly divided between Northern and Southern sympathizers. But four states did join the seven already rebelling: Arkansas, Tennessee, North Carolina, and the prize for the Confederacy, Virginia. In Richmond, joyous residents poured out of their homes and into the streets on April 14th, when news reached the city by telegraph of the fort's capture. Cannon boomed out a 100-gun salute. Bonfires were lighted. Girls at the Richmond Female Institute raised for the first time the Confederate flag. Women shunned men who refused now to put on a rebel uniform. Elizabeth Van Loo was disgusted by what she saw walking around Richmond 3 days later. Confederate banners hung from the windows of city buildings, and a torchlight procession marched through the streets. A Virginia legislator Van Loo knew walked up to her and announced defiantly, "The man who says slavery is wrong should be hung for murder." Another state senator confided that lawmakers who raised objections to a break from the Union now feared for their lives. Jubilant Richmond, Elizabeth wrote dejectedly in her diary, was becoming the center of treason. So little moved by the national outrage of an American military facility being seized. Elizabeth Van Loo was a short woman who had been quite fetching in her youth. But now in her 40s and unmarried, she was considered by Richmond society to be an old maid. She loved her state, always speaking of Virginians in her soft Southern accent as "our people," although that love would be tested sorely in the years to come. She wore her dark blonde hair always in tight curls that hung along her cheeks and neck. She had a thin, nervous-looking face with high cheekbones, pointed nose, and sparkling blue eyes that bore into anyone facing her stare. She was almost always attired in the antebellum style, with black silk dress and bonnet, whose ribbons tied under her chin in the front. She was clever to the point of almost unearthly brilliance, friends said, and decidedly feisty. She could be acid-tongued and scalding in her contempt for people whose social or political views clashed with her strong sense of right from wrong. She acknowledged it had made her life intensely sad and earnest. Yet when she thought it would help her have her way, Elizabeth Van Loo could be gentle and flattering.